out the Mishnah. We said yesterday that in Dinei Nefashos, there's a requirement of poskim l'schus, which will be analyzed in the Gemara. It doesn't occur in Dinei Mamonos. Dinei Mamonos, basically, most of the Rishonim say that there is no such thing as schus and chav. So therefore, all the halachos, all the requirements in the Mishnah that are based upon that, the phenomenon of schus and chav, would seem to be nullified. They don't exist in Dinei Mamonos if you maintain that there is no such thing as schus and chav, because in this case you're dealing with two people. So the verdict is going to be good for one, bad for the other. You can't have one that's good for both, or bad for both. All right, now let's continue. Dinei Mamonos Matin al pi echad. Dinei Mamonos, you can decide on the basis of a majority of one. Bein l'schus, bein l'chova. Both for schus and for chov. The dinei nefashos matin al pi echad l'schus. Dinei nefashos. Now the question, of course, is: does the principle of rov, of lulo kakulo, operate in dinei nefashos? So the answer would seem to be basically yes, because you have 23 judges, so you don't have to have unanimous. There's no requirement that it should be unanimous. And here too, we say that I was leaning basaruba. By the way, there's an interesting thing is by chov. In order to arrive at a conviction, you need the alpishnayim lechova. That you need a majority of two for conviction. That's interesting. Interesting. Because what's the idea of a majority of two? And one can ask, either you, it's a categorical thing, either you go by the majority. Once you go by the majority, if you say majority rules, so then it doesn't matter if you have a simple majority. Let's say you have 10 people and then in a group and we're going to vote. We'll go by majority. So the question is, does it make any difference if you have a majority of 6? That's it, so you have a majority. Or you have a majority of 7 or 8. Does it make any difference? That's the question. And as I said, that there's a Reb Chaim has an interesting piece on the idea of rov. I think it might help us to elucidate this. So we'll put that off for the time being. That's just all right, but whatever the case is, the general idea you understand is that we're not going by simple majority, we're making it more difficult. We're making it more difficult to convict. Because obviously it's more difficult to get the majority of two than a simple majority. Now, dinei mamonos machzirin. Dinei mamonos can be brought back. That is to say, you can retry it. You can negate the conclusion if you have good reason to. Bein l'schus, bein l'chava. Whether it's for either way. Dinei nefashos, machzirin l'schus. Dinei nefashos, we can be machzir l'schus. That is to say, that he was found guilty. And you want to be machzir l'schus, to exonerate him. That is, whatever the case, new evidence came up, or a new argument that they weren't aware of, or they realized they made a mistake, whatever the case is. So, if it's for schus, you can do it. The aim of zero machova. But he can't be brought back for chov. Let's take a look at Rashi. Machzirin, sosrin es hadin. It is to say that you have to be sosrin the din. Because the din reached a conclusion and you have to act on that conclusion. So if he was convicted, there's a chiyuv to execute him now. So you can be sosrin. You can uproot the verdict. The acha shegamru. After you had Gemara Din, that's a chiddush. Once the Gemara Din, so that effectuates a change in the status of the individual, and on the basis of that change, you have to continue with the punishment. So can that be uprooted? So the answer is yes, if it's a conviction. The Yadu Sheto, and they knew that they erred. Machzirin es hadava, they can bring it back. Bengals first bein lachav. That's talking about dinei mominus. Doesn't matter.
What shato?
Huh?
I'm sorry, shato.
Lachava. And you can't be machzir lachava. So the Gemara yalafla. The Gemara will explain how you learn it out. Because again, that too has to be explained. Because if the principle is that dinei nefashos, once you have a Gemara din, it's not unalterable. It's something which can be removed, so why is it only this way? Why not the other way? Okay? Tominus, in Dinei Mominus, Hakol Melamdin Schus V'Chova. Everybody can be Melamed Schus and Chova. Now, at this point in time, we don't really understand the statement. We mean everybody. Who's the Hakol? I thought we were just talking about Bezdin. So that's given, that we're talking about the members of the Bezdin. Who else are we talking about? But it becomes apparent from the next statement. Dinei nefashos, hakol melamdin schus. In dinei nefashos, everybody can be melamed schus. V'ein hakol melamdin chov. But not everybody can be melamed chov. Okay. But it's not self-explanatory. Who's the everybody? Who are we talking about over here? Where some people have the right. Limited rights. Some people can only be melamed schus, and some people can't be melamed schus. Who are we talking about? Does anybody know the answer? Rashi explains: I call melamdin ve'afilu talmidim hayoshvin lefnei hadayan v'lo nismanu based in alkach. That is to say that the way the Besdin was set up, it didn't. When Besdin met, it wasn't only the dayanim. You had the dayanim, but then you had talmidim, students who had not received smicha. But they were students, so they learned. They learned from watching how the Besdin operated, and they would actually sit. You'd have groups of students, and there was a whole structure, but especially by the Sanhedrin, how they would sit, and how many of them, and so forth. So it appears that they too can participate in the trial. That's the Hakol. Hakol comes to include a different group. They're not Dayanim, but they can participate. So in the Dinei Mominus, they have a right to offer an opinion. It's an interesting thing. It shows you that when it comes to Mishpat, to justice, there's no position, there's no haughtiness. Because otherwise you'd say, how can a student have something to offer? Well, the Rebbeim are here, don't they know more? The answer is, it's always possible, a good student can be proficient in an area and can have an idea that the Rebbeim didn't think about it. So he's permitted, and it's a quest for truth. So he says, I have a reason to show that this person is innocent. So he can state his opinion. Now that's in Dinei Mominus. It doesn't matter whether he's arguing that the person is innocent or the person is guilty. It doesn't matter. Because we've already said that Schus l'shel zeh, Schus l'shel zeh. Now in Dinei Nefashos, these Talmidim can participate only if they're going to be Malamed Schus. They're for acquittal. But if they want to argue that he's guilty, they can't. I'm just raising the question is, what does it mean? Is it just participation? They can state their argument. And of course, perhaps it'll be taken up by one of the justices, one of the Dayan. So does it have just the effect of stating an idea they're permitted to participate? Which would be a fetish, because not everybody can participate here. You can't have everybody coming off the street and giving their opinions over here. So what we learn is that a Talmud can participate. However, is it more than that? Does it count? That is, if you have three Talmidim who have mazakim, who have acquittal, so then when we tally up, because in the end of the day, after the deliberation, it's numbers that count. There's going to be a poll, a tally, to see a majority. Would the opinions of the Talmidim count in the tally or no? That they don't have. This we don't know from the Mishnah, but this is a question that we have to ask. Hand? I saw a hand. All right. Malamedes ha-malamed chova, malamed schus. In Dinei Mominus, one who is malamed chov can be malamed schus, which basically means that Rashi ha-malamed chova, dayin she-hizchul t'chila, l'havi rayos l'chova. Dayin who began to bring proofs for conviction. Yochol lachzor bo ulazakos. he can change his opinion and then begin a shift.
Is that after the, is that during
the month? I'm sorry, no, that's wrong. That's the wrong one. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Hamalai Chava. Hold on a second. Hamalai Chava. Hold on, I'm a little confused over here. Oh, it's Chosim Lamai Chav. You could do both. He's not locked into a position.
This is during the Masa Matan.
This is, yeah, during the Masa Matan.
Either way.
Dina Nefashos, Hamalami Chova, Malami Tzchus. In Dina Nefashos, the Malami Chova can switch and be Malami Tzchus, even during the Masa Matan. Aval Malami Tzchus, but the one who's Malami Tzchus, Eino Yochel Laksa V'lumo Chova. He cannot change. Take a look at Rashi. Eino chozim olam yichova. Svari. All right, so this, Rashi on the svara. But we'll see. That's, when we take up the Gemara, it's not so simple. There's a whole controversy about it. Rashi says it's a svara. The ve'ino the yitzilu. Because he required the yitzilu. But why? I mean, it's a hard one because... Just because he required the Tzilu, so why this particular expression? How do you know? I mean, how do you deduce that logically? Just because he required the Tzilu. It's true that we have a general idea of a Shaftu v'Tzilu, that they have an obligation to try and save him. But the particularities, the expressions, the way it's been incorporated into the conduct of the case, that's not something you worked out with logic. Because we on the basis of logic, you can think of many things to exonerate. But in general, Yalafla, we're looking for the sources. How do we know that it manifests itself in this particular way? But here Rashi says, Svara. Okay. Then he says, V'gemara mukimlo v'shas masu matan. The Gemara maintains that it's v'shas masu matan. Who dlo yachsar? It's only in masu matan that he can't retract. The mitov she'ata omerlo, now Rashi explains the idea. Because you tell him shalom lachzor, because since you tell him that he can't change his position, hu machazer acharayos lahan mitzvarav. So now he's going to search after proofs to strengthen his position. B'shem yimtzu rayos nachonos, and maybe he'll find them. He'll find good rayos. Al b'shas kamar din, but in shas kamar din. Shekvar chizer al kol tzadim. We assume he's already done all the research, checked every possibility. V'niralo she'ein dvarav nechonim, and it seems to him that his words are not accurate. Chozer malam chov. Then he can retract, and he can be malam chov. Interesting idea. Analyzing this part of the Mishnah, it seems a little bit strange. That it should work this way, that we're saying that once a person argued for acquittal, then he doesn't agree with what he said. He wants to change his position. He can't do so. He's stuck with that position. And the idea is that since he has to argue that position, he's going to search, he's going to strive to find ways to back it up. And maybe he'll find something. However, at the time of the Gemara Din, he's not bound by it. That makes sense. It's a matter of truth that a judge is not allowed to vote innocent if he's convinced that he's guilty. He's not allowed to do that. That's it's usher. That's a complete negation of the whole procedure. It's got to be based upon emes. He's got to paskin according to what he considers to be true. Except in the time of the Masa Matan, it's not psak yet. It's not gemarden. It's not complete. So he's just this consideration of ideas. However, if we're going to maintain that that's the case, and we want to be mazel, and to do so, we're trying to create a situation where people are, so to speak, pushed in a certain direction. So why don't we say everybody? Why don't we say all the dayanim in the time of mazel matan have to advocate for schus? Because once we tell them how to do that, so then they'll search for schus. It certainly seems more effective. Why isn't only the individual who actually argued it first for schus? Now he doesn't agree with it anymore with what he said, but he can't abandon that position. It seems kind of funny. And the question is also being raised, does it really work psychologically? Because in the back of his mind, he'll say, I'll wait till tomorrow then, and I'll state what I think then. How does it work, in other words? How does it work? We have a tentative answer because we're going to take this up
more question one more time.
Tentative explanation. And that is that you have masa umata. Masa umata means deliberation. And the liberation has to be honest. So when you go around the room, you can't negate the factor of MS, because that's part of Mishpat. How these two elements are combined is very fascinating. Because to the extent that you're going after Mishpat, you're going after MS, and all considerations of saving the person have to be put aside. If you want that absolute MS, then you can't tell me that there's an obligation to save a person. It's an amazing thing that you can have a Shaftu v'Tzilu. That's an amazing thing. Because, as I said, if the objective is v'Tzilu, so then, I'll ask you, what is Tzilu? But what, is that Mishpat? Is that, if it's Mishpat, so forget about Tzilu. It's not Tzilu, it's Mishpat. Absolute Mishpat is not interested in, I'm not interested in saving the person, I'm not interested in killing the person. You can't have any prejudice, one way or the other. Any objective, you can't have an objective. A true Dayan has to be only concerned with the truth, as he sees it, the halachic truth, the MS. That's why it's an amazing idea that you can combine two things like this. But nevertheless, that's the facts, okay? That's the premise. That you're incorporated, that it's, you're going to incorporate the Tzilu, and it's not going to be detracted, it's still going to be Vishakta, it's still Mishpat. And you're going to have Mishpat, and you're still going to have the objective of the Tzilu. You can't eliminate Tzilu. Well, I just stated that there's a problem, you know, logically, in an abstract sense, that the two are a little bit contradictory. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, that's the way it is. How does it work? So you have Masa Matan. And Masa Matan is deliberation. So what's deliberation? Deliberation means that you heard the evidence, you know what the facts are. What's the halacha? So I can't tell you at this point in time that you have to plead innocent. That doesn't make any sense. Because where's the Mishpat? That's an absurdity. That's not an opinion. It doesn't have any validity to it. There's no Masa Matan. And you must have Masa Matan. So if you can have Masa Matan, then by definition I can't tell you how to argue. So that's not a result of Masa Matan. You deliberate, you think it out, you may look up some svarim, and you give an opinion. That's an opinion. If I told you what your position was, then there's no opinion. So there's no Masa Matan. So you see, at this point in time, it's interesting, it's a fascinating phenomenon. That in this process we're going to observe when it's possible for the phenomenon of the Tzilu to emerge. There are certain things that you have to do because it's Mishpat. And Mishpat can't be any other way. So I can't tell you what to argue. That's contradictory to Mishpat. So at which points can the objective of the Tzilu intrude upon the process and not destroy the process? Because in the end it's going to be something which encompasses both. Now you state an opinion. When you state an opinion, so you are now, let's say if your opinion is one to convict, so you're a machayev. You're a convictor, you've convicted him. Okay. Now there's nothing intrinsic in Mishpat to say that you can't change your opinion in deliberation. You're still deliberating, and 5 minutes later you can abandon that position. That's not a contradiction of Mishpat. There's nothing intrinsic in the Mishpat, the requirements of Mishpat, that says that once you accept the position, you're stuck with it. No, to the contrary. It's free. As Posvra manifests itself is only once a person has been Malamei Tzchus. So once he's been Malamei Tzchus, so he's already partaking, that's legitimate Masa Matan, that's what he thinks. He has to state that. Like anybody else, the Malamei Tzchus and the Malamei Chov are the same. They have to state what they think is true. That's Mishpat. But if we tell him that he can't change his position in the Masa Umatan, that's not a negation of the Mishpat element. There the Yitzilu comes into the picture. Now the Yitzilu comes into the picture and it's a reality. Just to explain how it works, it's a psychological phenomenon. That in general, you see, to the contrary. You guys are saying, well, he's just going to go to sleep because he doesn't hold that it's correct anymore, but that's contrary to human nature. Generally speaking, it works the opposite. That once a person takes a position on an issue, and he's, you see, sometimes you try and, you show him the facts, you try and, it's very hard for him to let go. You see, he tries to defend his position and he comes back. Why? Because it's just a certain human emotion. I mean, it could be an ego thing, but even if it's not an ego thing, it's just the nature of people that once they arrive at a certain conclusion, so then they're committed to it. They have a certain commitment to that position, emotionally. And they, you know, they don't want it to be defeated. And these scholars too, you know, when they're, these people, you know, are thinkers and they come to a certain conclusion, they're not just going to abandon it so easily. So it's true that in this case, maybe he would abandon it. But now we tell him that he can't abandon it. So we reinforce that tendency within him that he, so therefore he's going to continue, this is your position. That is to say, I would say in a sense that once you become an advocate or a defender, you have two groups then. You have those who are convicting, and then you have those who are these, the matzilim. V'shaftu eida matzelas. V'shaftu eida v'tzilu eida. So it's eida that are shofet, and then there's that are judging, and then there's eida, there's a group that are matzilim, and that gets formed. You see, as you go into the trial, so, oh, you're a defender. You're a defender, so you have to remain a defender. You have to remain. That's the position. Once you assume the position of defense, you're committed to that position. And the logic is true, that there is truth, that since you're committed to that position, you're going to look for other arguments to bolster your position. That's based upon a psychological reality that you see happening all the time. I say to the contrary, it's very hard. Once a person has taken a strong position on an issue, even if you can refute it, you see how people are very reluctant. They keep fighting for their position and keep fighting and keep fighting, and sometimes they do come up with something. So that's just an ordinary reality. But you'll say, well, is that in itself some type of an interference with Masul Matan? I mean, isn't Masul Matan ideally where people can shift and go back and then not be bound to certain positions? You're using something which is artificial. So I would say you can say that, because you see, in Dinei Mamonis, it's just Mishpat. It's just Mishaftu. So if you look at Dinei Mamonis as the model, so there what's Salacha? That Bein L'Schos Bein L'Chom, and you can go up and back, up and back. So there is no... Yeah, they're right. But that's the ideal Masul Matan. The ideal Masul Matan is, it's just deliberate. What do you think now? You don't have to stick with a position. So I would say, even if you want to maintain that by restricting him from changing, it may be a certain restriction in the Masul Matan, but that's different. That is different than saying that to begin with, everybody has to become a quitter. That's different, because there, if you said that, then you'd remove the mishpat. That's not mishpat. You're just telling a person what to say. You see, so that would interfere in terms of the essence. There'd be no mishpat at all. The other one, even if you tell a person that you can't argue for chav now, it's too late, you're ready to state your position. That may be, it's true, in terms of the ideal masul matan, it may be diminishing, but that's a qualitative diminution. So we've already seen that in terms of the qualitative diminution, for the sake of the hitzilu, that you could do. We've already seen that in terms of the majority of one, majority of two. In terms of mishpat, majority of one is sufficient. In terms of tzala, you need a majority of two.
Let me get that last one, sorry.
Now I'm trying that. You might say that wherever you inject the tzilu, it might be at the cost of pure mishpat. And you see in the Masul Matan of Dinei Mamonis that in terms of the, if you're Malame Chav, you switch your position. No one's bound to stick to any particular position. Now you might say that by limiting this person from changing his position now, you're limiting the debate. Because maybe he has, in terms of truth, maybe right now, he realizes that the position of the Zchus was wrong, and he has a very strong position of Chav. If he makes that position now, he convinces others, that he, from the position, from the standpoint of pure Mishpat, which is truth, which is MS, you might argue that it's better to let him be free and say whatever he wants. That's what I would say. So it's a restriction. But I'm saying that that's the way, since it doesn't negate Mishpat, it's sort of, it's a quantitative, when it comes to a quantitative phenomenon of how much free rein we give, There's where you have the element of atzala. That is to say that the desire for pure truth is going to be limited. You see, that functioning, that element of bezdin is going to be limited quantitatively, but it can't be negated. Because if that's the case, just tell the guys in advance, this is how you have to vote. Then it's a fix, then it's not mishpat at all. You see, the atzala has to emerge from something which is really, truly speaking, a process of mishpat. It has a stamp of mishpat to it. Otherwise, it's just a fault. The work is that I can't force you to be an advocate. Like, tell you to argue for schutz, because that's not your position.
Yeah.
But once you define yourself that way, right?
Yeah.
So then I can prevent you from changing. I can say that now that's your position. I want you to remain with that position and think about that and research. That's your project now.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's going to increase the possibilities that you'll come up with this course.
Yeah.
Element on the psychological level is that very often, I mean, among genuine thinkers that are objective. Yeah, but that everybody's thoughts goes through a certain amount of trial and error in any issue. You know, at the beginning, you adopt a position, and then it matures. You know, like you recognize that you may have made some mistakes, whatever, you change it. But there is a truth, though, that when a person takes up a certain position, his initial position on an issue is, generally speaking, that's reflective of his conviction. So that even though the arguments at this point may be a little weak and need to be modified, but he saw something. He saw something. And he may not be able to formulate it, but that's his conviction. Beneath that, you see, beneath the proofs that you use, there's a certain conviction. That's your conviction. So if I tell you, stick with that, you may have something. Even though at this point you can't prove it yet, you can't maintain it, you can't sustain it, but it's indicative of the fact that you saw something. So you work on that position. In order to increase the possibility, because the position has to be sustainable. Just because I say, I'm convinced that he's innocent, that's not sufficient. Because I got to back it up and I got to win the argument. But the fact that you're so convinced indicates that you probably see something. And if you'll stick with it long enough, you'll find out that there's a reality to it. Does that make sense? The fact that Talmidei Chachamim have a conviction, and I'm not talking about flighty people, they're just whatever emotions hitting them at the moment. Obviously, that's something else. But real thinkers that are engaged in objective thinking, and when they come to a certain opinion, that indicates that they have a certain conviction, and that even if it can't be defended absolutely at this point in time, I wouldn't just automatically dismiss it. I wouldn't dismiss it, because they have a certain insight. A person with knowledge has a certain insight. A lot of doctors, I mean, you go to doctors for an opinion, it's a hunch, it's an insight. He can't prove it yet. He doesn't have the evidence, but he senses that it's not cancer, or that it's something else. It's the other thing. I mean, there's a certain insight that a person has. And you say, well, at that point, he couldn't prove it, so I rejected it. That would be absurd. Give me a few days. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you tell the person that basically now vitilu. So therefore, it works out beautifully that those people that don't have that conviction, they're mechayvim. Well, first of all, also, we want to let those people be free. Because vitilu. But we can't instruct them to abandon their position. You see, that's something you can't instruct the person to vote to acquit. So they're mechayvim. But if they want to change, position, fine. Why should we put a restriction on their rights of masu matan? We don't. There you have complete mishpat functioning. But where you took a position of mezakin, so there vitzilu says that I take away your absolute right of masu matan, and I tell you this is your position. And that will increase the possibility. That's because if you stop that, you see how that's hurting the person. You see how that's hurting. If I, given that this is the reality, that the fact that you vote for schutz, to acquit, indicates that you see something, and it might be. It's just a matter of time till you'll be able to substantiate the position. So if I tell you can change, you don't have to work on it, you don't have to think along those lines, so then I'm hurting him. Just like the doctor that has an insight, I have a cure. I think I know what the thing is, and nobody else has a cure because nobody understands it. I think. And you'll say, well, you know, the people, the insurance company, you got to tell us right now. What's the basis for it? He's, I can't tell you right now. If you give me 5 days, I'll be able to work it out and explain it to you. And if they say, no, we can't give you any time, so then you're hurting this guy. Because it could be that this doctor has the cure. That's where the, you see the genius of the idea, that we have to increase the possibilities of Schav Hatzalah. So this, you said something, you said schos. There's a reality to it, a very good chance that you're going to be able to back it up if you have the time. So we can't, if we, I say, forget, you could have been in your position now and go to a different position, I'm possibly destroying the arguments that would save this person. I'm endangering the other person. You'll say, but well, who cares? This is mishpat. No, Hatzalah. Then I'm violating, then Bezdin, by doing that, would be violating the obligation of Hatzalah. As long as you can manifest the obligation of Hatzalah without destroying mishpat, because it's still mishpat. You see, the fact that I'm decreasing the extent to which you're going to be a free thinker in Masum Adon, so that's a quantitative phenomenon. It doesn't destroy the process. You see? It just means to say that that process, that element must give way for the process of Hatzalah. It overrides it in this situation.